You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, here we are. It's the 27th annual Mardi Gras show.
Here we go!
Here at the Wake Up Tucson show. Ed Alexander has his New Orleans beads on. I don't want to know what you did in Pliskin Acres last night to receive those beads, but congratulations.
Thank you very much. It must have been the jambalaya I made last night. It's pretty darn good.
I saw that.
Yeah.
You were very festive. Ed actually made jambalaya, jambalaya last night.
Thank you.
And then he actually sent pictures out to us going, look at me.
You lucky guys.
Look at me, you know? Mr. Jambalaya.
It's all part of the Wake Up crew this morning.
That's true.
You have a parade.
That's K-R-E-W-E, as we like to say.
Do that thing, baby.
Well, happy Mardi Gras to everybody. And
Fat Tuesday.
You know, I was just having this discussion with Billy number two, and we were just talking about he went to the Dove of Peace Lutheran Church with his friends and family on Sunday over off of Oracle Road and I think Roller Coaster there. And this guy is from Baton Rouge originally, and he does the kick butt Mardi Gras service the Sunday before Mardi Gras. So we're talking about the religiousness of Mardi Gras, and the way you're supposed to do it is you party hard this weekend, right? Get it all out of your system, and then have a good reflective 40 days of Lent where you're trying to, be better spiritually and get ready for Easter.
That's what they say.
That's the way you're supposed to do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? But some of us forget about the 40 days after. We just go insane on Mardi Gras.
That's
so
true.
I've never been to my wife spent part of her upbringing in Baton Rouge,
so she has been
to Mardi Gras.
And she's an LSU Tiger. Yeah, that makes sense then. Okay.
You are correct.
Right.
And the closest I ever got to it, I went to a big tourism conference. I can't even say this word anymore. Let me get the buzzer out first.
Hold on. Wow. Uh-oh.
If anyone who's in the tourism business exactly knows this piece of business, like Monty Slavin, I bet she's even been there. It's called International Powwow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we're culturally appropriating powwows. And International Powwow is where all of these Betsy will know. She's a hotel girl, too, in the old days. Hotels and destination management organizations like Visit Tucson and then guest ranch resorts and whatever all get together in America with all these international tour and travel operators. Because what they do is they want to get in the itinerary for the international tour and travel operator when they build tours to America.
Sure.
So anyway, one of the ones that I went to, it's when I first met Deb Ferns. We were in New Orleans. And
wow.
DeSimone first met Deb.
That'd be a time not to be forgotten.
In New Orleans.
That's for International Powwow.
And so they actually, because it's a huge conference, this is like 6,000-7,000 people go to this thing. They actually did our own personal Mardi Gras parade inside the Louisiana Superdome.
See that?
Like, we didn't even know it was going to happen. We literally, they had all of the food and tables and all this stuff for, like, a dinner in the middle, right in the middle of the football field at the Superdome. And then what happened was, basically,
it's a big place.
About an hour after, we're all drinking and eating and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Out of the north end zone comes, you start hearing all this noise, and they literally did a mini Mardi Gras parade that circled around the entire football field of the Superdome.
Yeah.
So, and they were throwing beads and all that crazy stuff.
All that other crazy stuff that goes with that.
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
See where you're going with this.
So we'll do a little review of Mardi Gras and stuff, like kind of the history of it a little bit. We'll have a little fun with that today. Well, of course, now, I don't know, if you're in the Dixieland, this kind of stuff, you can call us and give us your, Ed and I have a good amount of stuff between us for our playlist. But if you have something you really want to hear as part of our Mardi Gras party today, you know where to find us, 790-2040. You can message me through Facebook or, of course, hit us at Wake Up Tucson Comments Alexander@gmail.com. I have plenty of Pete Fountain, Al Hurt, and Louis Armstrong heading towards Ed Alexander as we speak. Great guest today. We have Nancy Johnson, who's the CEO of El Rio Health. She's making her debut on the show. She wants to talk about the importance. You're going to see a big push by a lot of folks in this town about why the census. I guess Tucson has issues with stuff. We have issues with people actually filling out the census. So we'll talk about that with Nancy, catch up with her. We have John Backer. He is running for Pima County Board of Supervisors. He's in a Republican primary, District 4. He'll be facing off against Steve Christie in August. And then Josh Nicholson, who is a current sitting board member of the Oral Valley Town Council. He'll be here at 8 o'clock. And then at 8:30, just added, Greg the production guy.
Whoop, there we go. Whoop, there he is.
So what I want, so you know, with that great voice, this is Greg, right? Greg is going to fill you in on, let's call it a Pliskin Acres update. No, this has nothing to do with the podcast.
Oh, it doesn't?
No.
Oh, okay.
This is a Pliskin Acres update. We also have a Pliskin Acres update unrelated to Greg that has to do with how even the ducks are not safe at Pliskin Acres.
I believe that.
Not even the ducks can get a break in the acres.
No, they gotta mess with them too.
You know, now that Steve Farley is the head of the Humane Society, I'm wondering if Steve could get us, and congratulations to Steve, Steve can get us a grant from the government. I'm thinking Kevlar vests for the ducks in Tucson. I'm just thinking. Now that would be a heck of a grant, right? $46,000 from the federal government for duck Kevlar vests. So, 790-2040, a lady who, you know, might have a Kevlar vest for a duck somewhere at her house, Tia Gloria. Gloria, what's going on, young lady?
Hey, that duck's on his own, okay? Especially if it's from Oregon.
So here. There you go, girl.
I have no protection for the damn duck. Oh, the darn duck.
What is that sound in the back?
Well, you know, that was the happy birthday to the church in Baton Rouge, which has made it onto YouTube.
And are you in it?
Pretty cool. I'm in it. Dear Betsy's in it. Bill's in it.
Oh my
Teddy's
gosh.
In it big time. And you can even hear Teddy whooping it up.
We're in trouble now.
It was such fun. And, you know, it really goes to show you that. Jeff Haskins, how long has that jazz group been together, Ed?
Which one is that?
Jeff Haskins.
Oh, Jeff Haskell? Yeah. Probably about 40 years or so, from almost the 70s,
clarinet.
Right?
Yes. Since the drummer has seen better days, but he still, you know, he is great, though. He's still great. All of them are great. And I thought, you know, cannot we celebrate our God and our faith in a joyful manner?
Right.
You know, That was it. You love the Lord with all your heart. The pastor gave an explanation. We sang Amazing Grace, and he said, Amazing Grace is not a song for funerals. It is a song of joy. But we've made it a song for funerals. It was a great explanation. I wish that was in the YouTube. But what I'm calling about,
yes,
other than to thank that church, I don't go to that church, but I go to the Mardi Gras event.
They appreciate that, I'm sure.
Well, you know, I leaned heavy into the collection basket. Okay, because I don't, you know, you have to help people out.
Of course.
So here's the thing. For Lent, people are going, oh, I'm going to give up chocolate. I'm going to give up, you know, drinking or whatever. How about giving up hatred?
Here.
How about giving up being angry all the time and posting just vicious stuff on Facebook and slamming on people who don't agree with you. Could we do that for 40 days? Do you think it's possible, Christopher?
You know, the everyone's likes would go down, though. And, you know, they're living for those likes.
You got to be on Facebook.
You know, what's more important, my eternal soul or getting those likes on Facebook?
Likes.
I don't know.
Likes.
I think my eternal soul
Then if someone hits the love or the wow instead of just the like, right? They spend that extra microsecond to go to the love or wow.
Right.
I mean, that fulfills my entire existence.
You know, when I hear you talking about having been at the Sister Jose event, was that Sunday?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. It just feels good. It's a vicarious feel good through you. And then it makes me want to give more, as it should all of us. You know, if we could post a couple of times a week something kind we saw or something kind that we did, although it looks like self, you know, gratuitous pleasantry. I would ask people to look for a way to post more kind things for 40 days.
Hey.
You can't kill us.
Can't do that. There's an election on.
Let's call this the Tia Gloria Challenge.
Yeah.
Okay. The TGC, as we call it in the old days.
Right.
Twice a week between now and Easter on your social media junk, let's post twice a week something, a good positive story.
Oh, have I been on this one for a while?
Well, let's go back to the Wayback Machine. First year of the show. Joe, Chris, it's Tia Gloria. What do you think about Positive Monday? Oh, that's a great idea, Tia Gloria. Three weeks later. Boys, what happened to Positive Monday?
Okay, but one more thing, and I know you've got to get me off of the air. In the Wall Street Journal on Saturday, there's a huge, huge front page in one of the sections called How to Change Anyone's Mind. It is the most powerful thing. If you push someone, they're going to push back.
Of course.
How do you change someone's mind about things?
All right, hold on. You've opened your big mouth on this one, so hold on for 2 seconds.
Well,
we both have big mouths. I want to put you on hold during the break, and I want to finish this discussion about how to change someone's mind.
All right.
I'm fascinated.
Okay.
All right, Tia Gloria, Christy, Simone, Ed Alexander. It's the Big Fat Tuesday. Hold on. Can I say fat? This is a problem now. Hold on.
No.
Can I? Hold on. Let me ask the committee. They want to go with Husky Tuesday.
No.
Wake up, Tucson.
Fat Center Tuesday. Sorry.
Look at us.
Tia Gloria's got that umbrella going up and down. Look at that. Yeah. Is that a parasol? What is that?
Tia Gloria is a classy broad. It's a parasol.
See that?
It's a parasol.
Look at her go.
Woo! She also uses to beat off people, like what beat them, hit them.
In Pliskin Acres.
Yeah,
yes.
When she sees the guy driving down the alley with the bicycle holding someone else's bicycle, she tries to knock him off with the parasol
good
sometimes once in a while. So
hope it has a point. Yes.
Oh, it's got a point.
Okay.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson Show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. We're hanging out with Tia Gloria on this Husky Tuesday.
And I want to know who's cleaning up all the confetti around my house.
Oh, is that what we're calling it now? Confetti?
Confetti. I've been lugging around with my parasol throwing confetti.
The rip torn of Jefferson Park.
Yes. Inside my house, I can just be wonderful.
So you teased us at break about an article in the Wall Street Journal about how to kind of truly change someone's mind.
It's called To Persuade, Don't Push, Remove Barriers is the subtitle. And when you think about it, you know, the very successful consultants who want to change your mind about how you've been doing things in a company or a small business or whatever, they offer options, you know. And people will go for options rather than you got to do it this way, because if you don't do it this way, your business is going to go down the tube.
So one of the rules when you're selling something is you try to give people options. Never get into that discussion of it's a yes no.
That's right, because people are over attached to the status quo. You know, whatever they've been doing, even if it's only for a year, and especially if it's been 5 or 10 years, they ain't letting go. Thank you very much.
That's a great phrase, over-attached to the status quo.
Yeah. Mm. It's I've been, it's my way or the highway. I've been doing it this way. Get away from me with your new nonsense. So the other thing is Dave Ramsey says this, and it almost gets tiresome, but baby steps towards change.
Sure.
You know, like my friend who used to eat literally a dozen donuts a day.
Yikes.
And then cut back to 6 and then 3, and but he couldn't give up the dozen. And he lost almost a ton of weight, a whole lot of weight, and saved money. But, you know, to him, talking to him about the money was more important than talking to him about his clogged arteries. Okay, so baby steps, and then corroborating evidence, and that is that more than one person talks about it. It's not just the one person asking you to like a certain page on Facebook. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
It's maybe an invite from 3 people. And that combination of things might get us to change to whatever it is we're trying to bring about. And that is the stupidity of socialism.
Well, I think the one thing I'd add to all of that is we need to have more face-to-face conversations with those people that we may not initially agree with.
Yeah.
Because everything, no matter how many people corroborate something on social media, it's just social media, that passive aggressiveness that just seems to be so beautifully distilled on social media. You got to get past that too.
Well, I think it's this and that, you know, maybe it's presented here and then followed up with something else.
Sure.
You think that might be possible? And also, not to go for the win, but the win-win, and be sincere about it, you know, and listen. Listen to why they don't want to change. And that's very hard for me, Christopher, because I'm old, you know, and I listened for so many years.
You don't look a day over 69. I just want to tell you that.
On a good day, sweetie. On a good day. Well, anyway, here's to a blessed Quaresma, which means, you know, 40 days. And you don't count Sundays. People always argue, a day's more than 40 days. Well, Sundays are not counted in Lent. And so remember that part.
Wow.
And
what am I supposed to do on Sunday then?
don't bring up a math problem, okay, Ed Alexander, right now in relation to Lent. Please leave this poor guy alone.
Take a nap.
Okay. Right? Take the day off.
It's called Siesta Sunday.
Hey Gloria, thanks for the great call.
Thank you,
for starting off our day in a great way.
Yes.
Love you both.
Love
Bye.
You too. All right, we got CBS Bloomberg News coming up next. And we got more laughs coming. Yeah. More laughs to come. Husky Tuesday. I can't say the other word. I've been banned now. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Oh, well, we are doing it up today here. Woo-hoo! On Husky Tuesday, or Mardi Gras, if you want to say it in Frenchy.
Yeah. Frenchy. French fries.
One of our listeners sent me a email about. I have a good story for Tia for Tia Gloria as part of her. I'm gonna live her dream at least for a couple of weeks here.
Good.
But real quick, a listener who has either I think he has a family member at a school, and it's it is Lynn Urquidez School on Ajo, just west of I-19. They said basically that, here we go. I just want to bring to your attention the special needs kids they've had no heat in the school for over 4 weeks.
What?
These kids can't talk to tell you they're cold. They're in wheelchairs and can't move around, can't figure why this is taking so long. I thought you might be the guy to make us think about this. Well, I didn't make us think about it, but I did reach out to Superintendent Trujillo,
okay,
who was very prompt and said the heating system has been successfully replaced. They don't have any money in their own bank account to pay for these things.
The district or the school?
The district.
Wow.
So they have to go to the school facilities board funding. They got to request the funding and all this at the state, and then they got the money. The school was running on temporary heating units, portable heating units, for at least 2 weeks. So I don't know if that means two of the weeks they didn't have heat, and then they finally figured out to bring portables in.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
Aye.
Interesting. Now, let's give you, this is a story that was brought to my attention by Dr. Van Buren, who will be here on Friday for movies. And this story I'm going to relay to you today is his inspiration for kind of sports underdog movies. Top 10 sports underdog movies, okay, on Friday.
Cool.
So this is making its way on the social medias. And if you repost this, it's on my page right now, you will qualify for one of your two positive posts for the week.
Okay.
For the Tia Gloria Challenge. I have talked to Tia Gloria and our diaconate here, and you would be approved. When both Carolina Hurricane goaltenders left the game, this is from Emily Kaplan and ESPN, the Hurricanes, they play hockey in Carolina, left Saturday's game versus the Toronto Maple Leafs with injuries. 42-year-old Dave Ayers came in as the emergency backup goaltender and stopped 8 of 10 shots to get credit for a 6-3 win.
Oh.
Okay. He said, obviously the second period was a little shaky, but I told the boys in the dressing room, once we come out to the third, I'll be settled down and ready to win this one. He told Canadian Broadcast Sports Broadcast. He's the Zamboni driver and arena maintenance worker for the Maple Leafs AHL affiliate, the Toronto Marlies, and has been the irregular practice goaltender and has appeared at Maple Leaf practices as an emergency goalie. He was available to either team if needed. So he lives in
Zamboni
Toronto.
The Zamboni driver is the backup goalie.
Right.
Wow.
So he lives in Toronto.
Yeah.
He's a practice goaltender for their AAA team, if you will. And so what happens is the Hurricanes get out there and both their goalies get hurt. Per NHL rules, he was paid $500 for the game and allowed to keep his jersey.
Excellent.
So it said, it was awesome. I had the time of my life out there. Of course, he was named the number one star for the game. The crowd in Toronto, they lost the game, gave him a loud ovation. I've been on this ice so many times without fans.
Mm-hmm.
Put fans in the mix and it's a whole different game, obviously. But hey, once in a lifetime, I'll take it.
Good for him. How cool.
He's a Whitby, Ontario native. He came into the game with the number 90 Hurricanes jersey, but was wearing his helmet that has the Toronto Marlies decals.
Okay.
So anyway, there's your feel-good story of the day, is the Zamboni driver comes in the middle of a NHL hockey game and gets the win.
Yay, guy.
So.
Excellent.
Very, very cool. Real quick, let's get to this duck. I gotta bring everyone down again now. So,
a duck,
Pliskin Acres.
Yeah,
Pliskin Acres. There's a lot of victims in Pliskin Acres. The residents, the children, business owners. But now we got the ducks. A Tucson group claims a duck at Fort Lowell Park died Thursday after it was found shot. According to a Facebook post from the group Friends of Fort Lowell Park, someone found the semi-domesticated duck injured in the park's wildlife oasis. So semi-domesticated, like you. Semi-domesticated.
Thank you. I use a fork, but not a knife. Yes.
You're one of those guys who grabs the meatball with a fork and you just eat around the metal.
That's all I need. Semi-domesticated.
They took it to the Tucson Wildlife Center where experts determined a pellet, you mean a veterinarian, from a BB or pellet gun had rendered it paralyzed and had to be euthanized. This is from Sam Radwani over at KGUN 9.
Come on, you did bring me down.
Sorry. The group says they... I got so much stuff to do today. I got to get this out. The group say they reported the incident to state and federal wildlife authorities and an investigation is going on. How about TPD? Oh, sorry. We don't have any cops second.
I just thought that funny.
They said they went to the state and federal wildlife.
What?
But there's no word that they actually talked to TPD about... Well, there's psychos running around with BB guns shooting ducks at Fort Lowell Park.
In the park.
Whose park is that?
Yeah.
Is that a state park?
I think that's a Tucson park.
Tucson City Park.
I think the neighbors ought to be worried about the guy with the BB gun.
So first and foremost, rest in peace.
So sad.
Mr. Quackers.
Dang.
We have Mr. Cheeps here.
Mr. Cheep will have a funeral dirge. We'll have a... Mardi Gras funeral dirge in a while.
And Mr. Cheeps is always upset when there's foul play against his brother, Birds.
Got it. Foul play. Got it.
So all I'm telling you, in Pliskin Acres, even the poor ducks aren't safe. And tune in at 8:30, Greg, our production wizard, who, of course, is... does the Tucson History Podcast. He's got a Pliskin Acres story. It's also going to be cathartic for him to be here. So tune in at 8:30. That will be enlightening, hilarious. It's got it all. So let's do this. Let's go visit some great sponsors. We got Nancy Johnson, the CEO of El Rio Health, coming up next. John Backer is sitting in the green room, which is now blue. So we're going to call it the blue room. The blue room, he's in the blue room right now. He's going to come on, and we're going to talk about his run for Pima County Board of Supes. And then we have Josh Nicholson, Oral Valley Town Council person, in the 8 o'clock, starting off the 8 o'clock hour. So welcome to Wake Up Tucson. It's a Husky Tuesday. Let's party it up. Wake Up Tucson.
You're going way back with Satchmo.
Well, one of our favorite tunes ever, Strutting with some Barbecue with Satchmo.
That's me.
All right, it's a Husky Tuesday here. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Nancy Johnson, CEO, El Rio Health. Nancy, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Welcome to, we call it Husky Tuesday. You're a health person, so we don't want to say Fat Tuesday. We don't want to do any of that. So we're going Husky Tuesday here for Mardi Gras.
Everything in moderation.
Thank you very much. So everyone's heard the name El Rio Health, but let's just say someone moved here from Kenosha, Wisconsin, like a week ago and tuned into the show. Just tell them exactly what El Rio does and how expansive your operations are in Tucson.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity to talk about El Rio. It's our 50th anniversary this year, and so we would tell a newcomer to Tucson that El Rio Health has been taking care of all of Tucson for 50 years. We have 12 different locations around the community, and we are a fully integrated healthcare model, which means it's kind of a one-stop shopping environment where you can get medical care, dental care, behavioral health, mental health care, get your laboratory services provided, radiology, mammography, fill your prescriptions, and even take a Zumba class or maybe a meditation course if you'd like.
Well, Ed and I do Zumba about three times a week now in the morning.
Do you?
So we call it hot Zumba. It's like hot yoga.
I see. So, no, and the, you know, I think the other piece that people don't realize is that El Rio, we take care of about 110,000 Tucsonans. So, you know, quite a lot of people call El Rio their health home.
So, you know, Tucson definitely, and part of what El Rio serves is we have a big poverty problem in Tucson, Arizona. And you guys fill that hole for so many people.
Yeah.
How does that work? How does that, you know, how does the, because part of what we're going to talk about, you're here to talk about why it's important to fill out the census. So let's talk about why is the, you know, getting as many people to fill out the census and be counted important for you guys to, in relation to delivering services?
Right. So, you know, the history of El Rio is that we were founded, obviously, 50 years ago, and it was during the Johnson administration when there was a focus on the war on poverty. And so our initial roots are in taking care of the most vulnerable people in our community and some of the frailest people. You know, today we take care of everyone. People have found that the quality, the integration, the affordability of primary health care in community health centers such as El Rio is valuable to the entire community. To your point, you know, we get a small percent, about 8% of our funding from a federal grant that was established back in 1970. So we have a very small part of our budget now that comes from federal grants. But as a nonprofit healthcare system, we have a separate foundation that raises funds for needed services for our community. And then we also obviously contract with all insurance companies and payers to generate income in that fashion to fully fund our health center. But the census is super important for us for so many reasons. I mean, one is, you know, we want to know where our health centers should be. So it's important to know where people are living. We want to know how the community is growing. We want to know about the needs of the community because, you know, back in 2010, when the U.S. Census was last completed, there were about 5% of children under age 5 that were not counted. So that's about, you know, across the country, a million children, and that's the biggest single age group. So we really want to be sure that we count all the children. As an example, here at El Rio, we take care of about 36,000 children, and we know that the census data helps provide that funding for everything from children's health insurance to the National School Lunch Program, early childhood education, all those really critical services.
So let's talk about the, you said 110,000 folks that you served in your last, is your fiscal year mm-hmm. calendar?
It is calendar year, so yeah, end of 2019.
So tell me trend. What's the trend look like over the 10 years of that population of, is that like the highest number in the last 10 years? What's that looking like?
Yeah. That is the highest number in the last 10 years, and we tend to grow. In 2019, we grew 5.9%, so we usually grow somewhere between 5 and 10% a year with new patients, so these are uniquely, you know, individual patients. So as we see the growth across our community with the need for health care, you know, we really value everyone helping with census data collection because it'll help us serve the community better.
When you look at that 5 to 10% of new patients, if you're going to look at, like, you know, who makes up that? Is that just people who maybe got kicked off traditional health insurance? What does that client look
like? Yeah. So, you know, prior to the passage of the Affordable Care Act in 2012, about 30% of the patients we were caring for didn't have access to health care. Today, it's about 14% of our patients still don't have access to traditional health care or a payer for their health care. But, you know, I think as we see growth, we see it in all sectors of our patient population. We see a growth in patients on Medicare. We see a growth in children and families. We also see a growth in patients who are new to the community. We take care of a lot of elected officials. We take care of about 65% of our own employees. So it's a really diverse mix of patients with, you know, very individual and unique needs.
The, you know, for years we always see the preventive health stuff that different health organizations have passed, right? Eat right. better, you know, we pay for commercials like on TV that says, hey, instead of eating those onion rings, make a salad, you know, all those good things. Are we seeing a payoff in that? Are we actually seeing a payoff in that?
Right. Well, you know, if we think back to the children, the population of children, that's where we're going to see the greatest payoff longitudinally around preventative health.
Right.
For example, if your child is one of our patients here at El Rio Health and they come in for a well child visit and they get immunized, the pediatrician is going to ask about when did you see a dentist or a dental hygienist? When did your child last have their teeth looked at? And if the family says, gosh, I didn't know my 2-year-old needed to see the dentist, we're going to do a warm handoff to the dental hygienist who's also embedded in pediatrics and have that child, you know, have their teeth looked at that day. So another aspect of primary prevention, starting off with young populations. I think that, you know, we do a lot of primary prevention with immunizations and education, making the salad, as you describe, but we also do a lot of secondary prevention, which is about screening. So in older populations, if we're able to find, you know, colorectal cancer earlier, if we're able to identify high blood pressure earlier, and treat them and keep them in optimal health, you know, we're going to improve quality of life for everyone.
So the folks that are listening to the show right now in relation to the census, what do they need to do?
Yeah. So for the census, I mean, I think it's great here in 2020 because it's so easy to complete the census. Everybody will be getting an invitation around mid-March to complete the census. And people can respond online. They can use their mobile device to do that. They can do it by telephone or they can do it by mail. So a very easy process. And, you know, once again, participating in the census will really help us have the resources we need. It will help us with representation, you know, with the House of Representatives, determine how our boundaries of congressional districts are formed. So a lot of different pieces. But, you know, for us, we want to be sure that we're here to serve people for the next 50 years. And we want to be sure that we're allocating resources appropriately, finding what our communities need. So the census data does that. So it's super easy to participate. I think people always wonder, you know, with all the conversation about confidentiality. And, you know, the Supreme Court has ruled that these, you know, your census answers legally can't be shared or used. And they're all done and you know, put together in an aggregate into a population group for statistics. So all the data is encrypted. It's not online. People can't access it. So there's no risk in participating. And once again, it's easy.
Nancy, thanks for the call in and thanks for talking about the census and updating on what's going on at the El Rio.
Well, thank you. And we'll encourage everybody to complete their forms by April 1st.
Nancy, have a great day. Have a great Husky Tuesday, as we say.
Thank you. Take care.
Nancy Bye-bye. Johnson, CEO of El Rio Health Services. Real quick, on our, we usually want to sneak in a couple of holidays and birthdays for today. First of all, Ed, now we have to do, I'm going to do like an apostolic kind of exemption
Ooh,
here.
Okay.
Today is George Harrison's birthday.
It is.
So I'm thinking.
One of my biggest heroes.
I'm thinking, would you be sad if we pushed a whole bunch of George till tomorrow? Because I'm sure there's a bunch of losers born tomorrow.
No, there's not. Johnny Cash and is tomorrow.
Oh, my Lord.
So we can do a little George Harrison and Johnny Cash tomorrow.
That's fine. All right. So we're moving George to tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Of course, today's Husky Tuesday. It's funny. It's Let's All Eat Right Day.
Yeah, right.
After we just talked to Nancy. But, of course, it's International Pancake Day. This is a thing back in the old world that you would get rid of these kind of, you'd eat this stuff up, the flour and the sugar and stuff before Lent started.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
It's also National Clam Chowder Day.
Yep.
I just want to tell you something. I identify with both Manhattan and New England clam chowder. I'm binary
you,
when
you
it comes
are.
To my clam
You're
chowder.
Bi chowderish.
I'm a bivalve binary. Thank you. And then that's
gosh,
what a clam's a bivalve.
I know.
Right. Thank
we're
you.
Having a day today.
National Chocolate Covered Peanut Day. Yeah. And then, of course, it's, I'm going to get in trouble with this, it's Paschki Day, which is, of course, Polish Donuts Day. So
can't have Polish in America anymore. Jeez.
Sure you can.
You're starting trouble now.
John Backer's coming up next. He's running for Pima County Board of Supes. Wake up, Tucson.